Telephone number 740-389-3462.
And a very good Thursday afternoon to you. What does that mean? Well, it means it's time to talk today's top and trendy technological topics. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1, frequency modulation, that's FM. And of course, you can also listen online anywhere in the great world that we call home at WWGH1071.com. And not only that, we're going to talk about some possibly breaking news in the world of tech, but I'm available live on Facebook video. If you're not already a friend of mine, well, that's okay. Go ahead and please request my friendship because I'm a fairly friendly guy. Go to Adam Lepp or Adam the Computer Guy, that would be I, and you can watch my live video, see me in all of my glory as I perform this wonderful radio program, and take your calls live on the air. You can ask a question, you can make a comment, of course, you can even make a complaint, whatever it is that you may wish to discuss. It's all well and good. Telephone number is 740-383-9944. That comes to 740-383-WWGH-Radio. Nice late summer day, I would say. Mild temperature, hot but not steaming hot. No precipitation. The air quality is pretty good because my hay fever is treating me fairly well. Current time, 16 minutes after 2. Here, again, The Talking Place in Marion, but broadcasting all over the great world that we live in, WWGH1071.com. That is the website. Again, my name is Adam Lepp. We get together every Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 2:30 and 3 to talk these lovely tech topics going to talk about during this program. Of course, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a young, new congressperson. It seems like she is in the news for anything and everything. A controversial, divisive figure. When I talk politics and presidential tidbits with my regular co-host, Dr. Ron Feinman, every Monday, she always comes up. And, you know, she has nice hair. Lover or hater, you're definitely going to form an opinion about her. Again, she was a bartender, and now she's a congressperson. Certainly a rising star in politics. You know, lover or hater, she certainly is someone getting a lot of visibility. And again, in this news story we're going to go over, is no exception. The Knight First Amendment Institute, which has led a legal fight against, yes, President Donald J. Trump, for blocking critics on Twitter, has officially asked Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a Democrat from New York City, again, also known as AOC, to stop doing the same thing. You know, politics makes strange bedfellows. You wouldn't think that AOC and Donald Trump would be doing a lot of the same things, but turns out they very well appear to be doing that. This institute, again, it's called the Knight First Amendment Institute, sent a letter to AOC's office urging her to unblock anybody who was targeted, quote, because of the viewpoints they have expressed, while also acknowledging that some blocks might be, quote, both reasonable and constitutionally legitimate. Multiple U.S. courts ruled that government social media accounts can be constitutionally protected public spaces, including the Twitter account of President Donald Trump, whom the Knight Institute sued for blocking accounts for political reasons 2 years ago. The Second Circuit Court of Appeals earlier this summer affirmed that decision. Within days, three people, check this out, sued AOC for blocking them. Former New York Assemblyman Dove Hickhind, Staten Island congressional candidate Joseph Saladino, and self-described Jewish journalist Harry Cherry. That's a good name, Harry Cherry. Joseph Saladino, again, a New York City Staten Island congressional candidate, called his suit, quote, a social experiment to see if courts would apply the same legal standards to a conservative president and a liberal congresswoman. Ocasio-Cortez has responded to Mr. Hickein's complaint, denying that he was blocked for expressing opinions and denying that she uses her popular Twitter account, at AOC, as a public forum. The Knight Institute took issue with the claim, saying, you can use the account, you use the account as an extension of your office to share information about congressional hearings, to explain policy proposals, to advocate legislation, and to solicit public comment about issues relating to government. However, the Institute says that some tweets, like those including threats, would not be protected political speech. Ocasio-Cortez also faces high levels of racist and sexist abuse on social media. And the Institute acknowledges that having to deal with harassment can paradoxically deter people from participating in the democratic process, which I would tend to agree with. Legal scholars noted that last month's ruling raised complicated questions about dealing with harassment, especially in venues outside Twitter, where moderation involves actually removing comments and not just blocking users. Consequently, the Knight Institute has suggested that it work with Ocasio-Cortez to develop a social media policy that both complies with the First Amendment and helps you address threats, abuse, and harassment. It's publicly expressed concerns with her blocking tactics, but now it's directly addressing the Congresswoman herself and bringing attention to an ongoing legal battle. So, you know, free speech, Twitter, what do you say, what shouldn't you say, and will a congressperson or even the president end up in hot water? It is a slippery slope in 2019 in the age of social media. But we talk about that stuff here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio program, broadcast every Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 2:13 p.m. and 3, right here on The Talking Place. Adam Lepp here, live on Facebook video, so feel free to go to my Facebook page, again, Adam the Computer Guy or Adam Lepp, if you're not already a Facebook friend, and you can watch me do this show live in our exciting studio on the east side of Marion, O.H. And of course, if you're not within about 10 miles or so of Marion, that's okay. Also, you can listen online anywhere in the world at WWGH1071.com. So what is Nike up to, other than controversy with Colin Kaepernick and related proclivities? Nike has announced the new Adapt Huaraches, a modern redesign of its Huarache line, featuring a self-lacing motor that can be controlled through Siri. Users, or what you might want to refer to as wearers, that's a hard word to say, wearers, and Siri, try to say that in the same sentence. Anyway, if you are currently donning those shoes, and therefore you would be a wearer, you can say, Siri, release my shoes on your Apple Watch or iPhone through the Nike Adapt app to unlace shoes. The Adapt Huaraches feature the same neoprene booty and supportive exoskeleton as the original Air Huaraches of 1991, but they add two LED lights that can change colors with the app. The app will offer preset modes that can be set to different colors and change fits depending on your foot type and activity. For example, if you're just chilling in the office or on the move during a commute. Nike says users can set Siri shortcuts for the individual's most employed features of the shoe, which is funny because there's only so much you can do with shoes. You can put them on, take them off, and of course that's two of the most common things that a person would do with a pair of shoes. With the Adapt Huarache's color-changing features, you can also have the option of saying, Siri, change my lights to a peppy green. If you have more ideas for Siri shortcuts, you could create. We would certainly be interested in finding out what the, you know, what can pair of shoes do when Apple App gives a command. Now, the Apple Huaraches will be released on September 13th through Nike's SNKRS app and select retailers. There's no price, but Bluetooth-enabled self-lacing Adapt BB sneakers that were released earlier this year retail for $350. So some high-tech sneakers, and although I find it intriguing, I don't think I would spend that much money for a pair of shoes. But if you do, if you have more disposable money lying around the house than I do, go ahead and give it a try. It might certainly be an interesting item to use. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with my twice-weekly radio program all about technology. We call it the Adam the Computer Guy radio program. Every Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 2:13 and 3, right here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Want to let you know that I'm on live Facebook video. You can watch me do the show, laugh, giggle, get astounded, whatever your reaction might be. Get under my Facebook page of Adam Lepp. And you can call me with a question, comment, suggestion, complaint, anything you want to talk about that is technologically related. And if you want to talk something like politics, that's fine too, because you know what? Politics is so much around us, it's really kind of hard to avoid. Phone number here at the station is 740-383-9944. If you're like me, you get a lot of robocalls. You answer the phone and a recorded voice says, oh, hi, this is fill in the name here, and you can save money on your mortgage. You can do better in adult activities. You can who knows what. Of course, it's all fake, and my reaction is normally just to hang up on this robocall, but sometimes I get a little aggravated, and I use words that you're not allowed to say on the radio. But bottom line is, the robocalls are getting completely out of hand. Most calls now seem to be robocalls. And why would you in your right mind possibly fall for one of these schemes? If somebody has a good offer, go ahead and send it in the mail, send an email, make a personal phone call, but don't call from a fake number, from a fake name, with some offer that couldn't possibly be true. Of course, the issue is, what is the regulation? How can we stop this from happening? How can we make it illegal? How can we crack down on these robocallers? Verizon, the number one mobile carrier in the United States, this week, this is, again, breaking news, introduced a free version of its robocall blocking app, which will be standard on all new Android devices. They further announced that it will auto-enroll eligible Android users to its call filter service and block what are seen as, quote, high-risk calls. This includes calls from numbers that have been reported as fraudulent. Again, they make up a phone number, make it look like they're in your city, just to have you think that it's a local salesperson wanting your business. But more than likely, they're not even in the United States of America. And that needs to stop. It totally defeats the purpose of caller ID and deciding which call you may choose to answer. So anyway, with this new app that Verizon will be rolling out shortly on all of its Android devices, which will hope to block robocalls. Calls from numbers that have been reported as fraudulent will be sent to voicemail, while the display on caller ID will indicate potential spam to warn callers that it is likely a robocall. I'd like to thank Tony from Southern Wyandotte County for watching my video. Hopefully it will not be too scary. Hopefully the screen of your phone will not break. It did happen a few weeks ago. Anyway, Android users also can set their phones to block all international incoming calls via both the free app and within the Call Filter Plus service, which Verizon introduced in March. The enhanced version of the app, which is available for a relatively low price, $2.99 a month per line, identifies unknown callers by name, creates a personal robocall block list, and accesses a robocall risk meter and spam number lookup feature. How about that? I think that's worth $2.99 a month. In case users are concerned about missing calls, the auto-blocking option can be turned off in both the free and enhanced versions of the app. Moreover, calls from known contacts will come through as normal, even if the call filter service is on. Ronan Dunn, CEO of Verizon Consumer Group, said, "We know our customers are sick and tired of all the endless onslaught of robocalls. Let me be clear, I am too." See, this is one thing where even the president of the company, even the executives making millions of dollars a year, are not immune to robocalls. Because I tell you, these robocall places, they don't discriminate. And certainly if they do affect the fancy-dancy rich people who make decisions about how to manage their products, they're likely to get something done. Anyway, Ronan Dunn, CEO of Verizon Consumer Group, said, "Our team is committed to developing and enhancing the tools that will help bring relief to our customers. This is another major step in that process. The upgrades will become available on select Android devices immediately, according to Verizon. For now, at least, iOS users, that is with an Apple iPhone, will have to download the new app manually." So what's our beloved federal government and our president, Donald J. Trump, doing about robocalls? Because you know what? I'm sure these Congress people, they get robocalls also. It isn't clear who exactly made, or more accurately, instigated the first robocall. Kind of wonder, when did this start? It seems like it's going crazy the last couple of years, but I remember getting robocalls 5 or 6 years ago, so it's in recent memory, but it's been going on for quite a bit. Now, the automated phone calls grew out of telemarketing. At least with a telemarketer, you get a live human being, which began as electronic switching systems replaced switchboard operators. That makes some sense. Again, technology has allowed this kind of thing to flourish. That's the bottom line. The development led to the rise of the call center, the boiler room sometimes, where people are in a room making calls and trying to sell something or in some other way make a profit. And it might be a legitimate product. I've done telemarketing in the past, and I've done kind of customer service telemarketing type sales. But these robocalls from a fake number with a product that's likely to be a fraud, that's something entirely different. And it's really gotten entirely out of hand. The big change came with auto dialers. Again, technology being used for ulterior motives. Now, the auto dialers did not require the telemarketer to dial the phone manually. That's where it got a lot slicker for these solicitors. In 1991, due to the growing number of these calls, of these auto-dialed calls, the United States Congress enacted the Telephone Consumer Protection Act, the TCPA, which banned telemarketers from making cold calls to customers. Americans can sign up for the Federal Trade Commission's National Do Not Call Registry. It should be noted that calls from political campaigns, surveys, charities, debt collectors, and healthcare providers are exempt from the registry, as are calls to businesses. Moreover, calls from banks, insurers, and phone companies are out of the jurisdiction of the FTC. So a lot of exemptions And it certainly weakens the law, but it's a lot better than nothing, that I can tell you. Despite the regulations, robocalls have continued. Auto-dialing software and voice over IP systems, which dramatically reduce the cost of long-distance calls, have made the matters worse. There have been further efforts to stop the onslaught. New FCC regulations that would ban most robocalls without written opt-in permission from the receiver went into effect 10 years ago, September 1st of 2009. Now, these rules are next to useless. According to the FCC, 50% of all calls will be spam by the end of the year. With robocalls, the only legal way is if you signed up for it and you said you would like to receive them. But who possibly would do that? And that comes from Dustin York, director of undergraduate and graduate communication at Maryville University. He said elections and charities are allowed to send robocalls, but spam companies usually use charities as a loophole. Legally, it's not right. I'd like to thank Allie for watching my live video. Hopefully, Allie, you're learning something. Don't laugh too hard at the video image. And most of all, have fun, because that's what live broadcasting is all about. Since it appears that legislation and even the threat of fines will not work, it could be up to the carriers to help hang up on the spam callers. The question is, how much can they actually do? It seems right that Verizon is making this service opt-out. That is, you get it unless you opt out, said Roger L.K. from Endpoint Technologies Associates. Robocalling is a terrible thing, he said. It has meant that I no longer answer my phone unless I see a known caller in the caller ID. An important technological fix yet to be implemented is to disallow the spoofing of calling numbers. And that's the problem. You see a number that says it's from 740. You think it's someone local, maybe a friend is calling from a business or whatever. But it ends up being a fake call, a robocall. And they're either in California or maybe even in a different country. And that really stinks. To me, that should be a serious penalty. But it's also very hard to enforce. And that's why this has really been buzzing around the news of late. And this, again, Roger L.K. is from Endpoint Technologies Associates. He also said, this spoofing of numbers has become a tactic for the more insidious, often illicit callers, which use a local number in place of the actual number. So you think it's from Marion, but it ends up being from who knows where, and it's certainly not somebody you'd want to talk to. Not to mention that they take the number of a real person, and that person might see, that person might end up getting a phone call from somebody who has that number on his or her caller ID. And therefore, the person calls and says, did you call me? And the person says, no, I didn't, without knowing that it was a spoofed number. So the whole thing is really stinks. Anyway, make the caller the only one who actually is calling from that number, and you've eliminated the anonymity. Again, that comes from Roger Kay, an expert in this kind of thing. He's from Endpoint Technologies Associates. Now, Verizon is not the only carrier to offer this robocall blocking software, but it may be that this approach is too reactive and not sufficiently proactive to make a dent in the problem. That is, they're kind of patched something up, duct tape something, when they should have kind of solved it before it got to the point where it's at now. And I would agree with that. The way Verizon's program works for Android users at this point is to have calls go to voicemail. That won't stop the callers from calling. We should fine the carriers for not doing enough to block robocalls, according to Jim McGregor of Tyrios Research, an expert in the field. Tony has commented that it's like identity theft. And yes, it is phone number theft, but it is less serious. Not that it's not anything other than a very bad thing to do. But a phone number can be spoofed just like a return address can. For example, I could send someone a letter and in the return address put in my neighbor put in someone I don't like, put in who knows what. I mean, it goes kind of by the honor system. And it's 2019, a lot of fancy-dancy software out there. It's not really hard to get equipment, and it's not expensive either, to spoof a phone number and pretend that the number is something else. And it's done because you're not likely to answer a call that says it's from India or Russia or even California, but if the area code is 740 or 419, you'll think, well, it's someone in the Marion area. You're more likely to answer it, especially if there's a person's name attached to it, and that's kind of where the logic is. So I would say it's a cousin of identity theft, but it is a little bit different. But yes, there certainly are many, many parallels. Of course, the government could do a lot more. That's the opinion of the experts and the opinion of me, whether or not you think that I'm an expert. You could require carriers to identify and disable robocalls. And again, that comes from Jim McGregor of Turios Research, and I would certainly agree with that. We need to be vigilant, and I don't think the administration is doing the priority. In addition, the Department of Justice could require that information about robocallers be turned over for prosecution. In other words, if they were serious about it, they could do something. I agree. They need to get off their rear ends and make this a high priority. And I think this will end up being part of the presidential debates. Just like climate change was big, especially with some candidates. We're going to hear about this, and I'd like to hear what all the candidates have to say. In addition to the new offerings from Verizon, plenty of third-party apps are available that you can install and hopefully block robocalls. You can download software and third-party apps and subscriptions that can safeguard you from robocalls, but they do cost money. It's like, why should you pay to protect yourself against something which should never happen? Well, it's a fact of life, just like buying a security system for your home or your car. There are other simple solutions. The easiest thing, not to answer the phone unless the caller is on your list. But, you know, it could be somebody calling saying you want $1 million. It could be an emergency from a family member. That really, that will tie your hands if you do that. And I would prefer not to, but sometimes you don't have much of a choice. You can go through the process of reporting, but it doesn't do much in the short term. That is the best thing to do until Apple does what Android has done. Don't answer and use the transcription feature on your phone's voicemail. Now, perhaps the biggest reason that these telemarketing calls continue is that the FTC, the FCC, and even carriers have been treating them as though they result from legitimate businesses using loopholes in law, rather than what most really are, namely part of a criminal enterprise. The vast majority of car warranty, credit card debt solutions, student debt calls, and of course, health insurance calls are not from legitimate businesses. And I've gotten robocalls from all four of those this week. Health insurance, that one's really kind of out of hand. It's almost comical, but it's also very annoying. These calls are from gray market businesses at best, and from scammers and outright criminals in the worst cases. Then there are the outright criminal calls that falsely claim to be from the IRS, law enforcement, Microsoft, or Apple, where they say you need to change your Apple ID, change your password for Windows, that we're going to sue you for $10,000 for not paying your taxes, that there's a warrant for your arrest, etc. And that is criminal, because that stuff isn't true. And, as Tony pointed out, that is an attempted identity theft. If you actually fall for this and you call a number that claims to be Microsoft and give them your password for your computer, for a remote access program, your login for your email account, your account information for Microsoft Office, well, they very well would commit identity theft. And that gets very serious and very expensive and obviously very ugly. Now, legitimate marketers have for the most part given up on robocalls because most people don't trust them. So I guess in that respect, if it's a legitimate company, you're going to hear from a regular person. And it's almost a shame. Well, I don't mind a robocall if there is a legitimate purpose, a company I know I do business with, but you don't really trust anything nowadays. So they've kind of gone back to the old-fashioned method, which I would say I definitely like. For better context, think about how much hatred you have for companies with pop-up ads. Robocalls are worse, and according to the experts, at least you are choosing to be on the internet when you see the pop-up. Now, the situation, not surprisingly, is getting worse. It won't be long before more than half the calls everybody receives likely will be spam calls, as the FCC has noted. And I would say most of my calls are spam, and that's just in the last year or two. The more worrisome issue is that just as technology is being developed to stop the problem, robocallers from India, Pakistan, China, and Russia have begun using technology to mask accents and make their pitches sound more legitimate. So no longer does a telemarketer from India have to sound like he or she is from Ohio. There is actually fancy software using artificial intelligence of sorts that can hide that accent. You wouldn't even know the person is in India and doesn't even speak very good English. Pretty clever, but also very dangerous, and it certainly is something we need to crack down on immediately. Google Duplex, which we've talked about a couple times on the show, is basically an artificial intelligence that sounds like a real person, and it can make reservations for you. You can call a restaurant, and the restaurant doesn't even know that they're talking to a computer. It'll make a call, and it'll have a back-and-forth conversation. It's not hard to imagine that sort of ability will fall into the wrong hands and be made into a robocall system. Could a robocall company come up with their own version of that? Absolutely. Congress is working through an ethical dilemma and throwing around suggestions like having to alert somebody if they are talking to a robot. Well, that should be pretty obvious. That should be required. That likely will not stop the regular scam calls, again, because this isn't solely a technological issue. Technology is just the tool the criminals use. The expert we quoted earlier, Jim McGregor, said there is no technical issue. This is an issue that the carriers don't want to clamp down on because it represents revenue, and the government doesn't seem to want to address the issue with any effective legislation or enforcement. At the present time, it seems like there is little to stop the cyber criminals from utilizing available technologies for the calls. All of these security scenarios are cat and mouse games, according to the experts, or whack-a-mole, if you prefer. When the black hats invent a new avenue in, the white hats learn to defend against it, leading to the black hats inventing a new way, and so on and so forth. It's just another turn of the screw. So another price we pay for all this fancy-dancy technology. It'd be nice to think that whenever anybody uses technology, it's used to better the world and better someone's life. But unfortunately, that is not the case. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with the Thursday edition of my twice-weekly radio program, which we call the Adam the Computer Guy Radio Show. Here on the Talking Place, WWGH Radio, broadcasting talk, news, and other fun stuff 24/7 at 107.1 on your FM dial and online at WWGH1071.com. If you do listen online, remember that the TuneIn app, which is free and available for Apple and Android phones, is a great way to listen. Easy to use, doesn't really use a lot of, doesn't have a big paperweight, so to speak, a big footprint. Like a lot of the apps, doesn't really take up a lot of memory or resources, and it's an easy way just to click and listen to this station as well as thousands and thousands of any other stations on demand. So we certainly suggest that you investigate using TuneIn to listen online if you're not already doing that. Current time is 11 minutes before 3, 2:49 in the p.m. here at WWGH Radio. Adam Lepp here on a very nice late summer afternoon in Marion, Ohio. So nice to have you with us. And again, I am broadcasting a live video on Facebook at my Facebook account, Adam Lepp. If you're already a friend of mine, great. Go ahead and watch it. Don't laugh too hard, but it is somewhat entertaining, and You might even learn something. And I do that occasionally, and when I do it, you'll have to find out because it's kind of unpredictable. But today, we are doing the live video and having a whale of a time here at our studio on East Center Street in the historic city of Marion, Ohio. Want to let you know if you have a question, comment, concern, problem of any kind with your computer. I provide free technical support. How about that? You can go ahead and give me a call right here at the radio station, 740-383-9944. That is our telephone number, and I would very much love to hear from you. Want to let you know that we are now experiencing some problems with the internet here at the radio station, and due to that problem, I will not be able to continue doing the radio show. And I do apologize for that, because without the internet, we are unable to broadcast content. So I'm going to go play a... let me try one more time here, okay? This is the thing about live radio. Sometimes there are issues with the quality of the signal or other things that relate to the ability to be live on the air. And unfortunately, it seems like the problem has continued. So I will not be able to continue. So we're going to go ahead and play a recorded segment. What recorded segment should I play? Let's go ahead and listen to Scott Spears, the interviewer of the stars, talk to Ron Feinman, a regular guest of mine, on Monday. Have a great rest of your day. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.